This podcast is presented to you by Passion Church, the DeSoto County campus, the fun church in Horn Lake, Mississippi. For more information, visit us at www.mypassion.church.
Jesus told him, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. We're not like those who look back. We are those who put our hand to the plow and with great tenacity, we hold on like a pit bull's, we grip onto the hem of the robe of our Savior and won't let go. We wrestle with God and we say, we're not quitting until you bless us. We are not like those who fade away. We look at the world out there today. Everybody claims to be a Christian, but maybe just a small percent come to church regular. That tells a little something about how much they love God to me. We are the ones who love God. And we are here because we want to show our gratefulness. We want to express our gratitude. We want our lives to reflect His goodness. We want to let our good works so shine that people see it and they glorify our Father in heaven. We want our lives to be different. So therefore we take the steps to keep our hand on the plow and keep steady with where we're going because we know in whom we have believed. We know who's leading this train. And we're going to stay with it. Yes. We're not like those who look back. We've been talking about Joseph, a 17-year-old man. I tell you, we look at his life and we see all these principles. But it isn't just Joseph, the story of Joseph. We could look at any one of our lives. And we could see the things going on and we could learn both good and bad. It's only when we look at someone else's life or that we dare to examine our own life. So God gives us stories in which we may see. He paints a picture so that maybe we would examine our own lives. Aren't you glad that everybody in the Old Testament and all the characters in the New Testament are real? Real living people with real living problems like we have? That He doesn't gloss over their failures and make them look like perfect steeple people. That way we can be real. Change only comes from honesty. Change comes from the truth, and it's the truth that makes you free. And if we'll be honest with ourselves, we can look at the story of Joseph. Now, what we've saw so far is Joseph is 17 years old in Genesis 37. He's the 11th brother of 12. He's his dad's favorite. There's favoritism in the family. There's animosity. He has dreams from God. And he doesn't have the discretion to not blab his mouth and make them even more upset with him. And so, here his brothers are upset. They go off to work one day. And the father says, Jacob, the father says, Joseph, go check on your brothers. So he goes to check on his brothers. They're not where they said they would be, but Joseph, he has initiative. We talked about he has initiative. He doesn't just stop just because the boss told him this, you know, to go this far and that's it. He wants to go the extra mile. So Joseph goes the extra mile and he finds his brothers and he's walking towards them. And I can imagine he's like, there's my brothers. And they're thinking, there's that dreamer, let's kill him. We talked about how jealousy is like poison in a human heart. It's behind most of the murders. We talked about how Cain killed Abel, the first dysfunctional family in the Bible. The first man born of a woman was a murderer because of jealousy. And so here they are. Here comes that dreamer. See, they're already holding his dreams against him. We talked about, you know, who to tell your dreams to. We've talked about a lot of stuff. You need to go back if you hadn't been here. Anyway, they said, let's kill him. And so Reuben, the oldest brother, he doesn't want blood on his hands, so he says, how about a compromise? Instead of we kill him, we throw him in the pit, and we let him die on his own. That way, none of us have to have blood on our hands. His real intention was to sneak back later and let him out. So Reuben, what was that we talked about last week? What did Reuben have? Courage to stand apart from the crowd? Well, he's thrown in the pit. Not to get ahead of myself, but you know later he's sold into slavery and he rises again, and then the devil comes and deceives him, and not deceives him, but through temptation and lies, they throw him into prison. So Joseph's in the prison. He's in the pit. His life is not starting out the dream that God had originally gave him. Some of you may have heard from the Lord when you were younger and said, this is your direction, and you was all excited, but a series of events happened, and the devil's trying to squash your dreams. The devil's trying to keep you down. The devil doesn't want you to have a vision. He wants to erase your vision. That's why the song says, I was once blind, but now I see. God wants to give you your vision back. That though some things have happened between the revelation of your dream and now, that doesn't mean the dream has ceased, that God forgot about it. Guess what? God doesn't forget. The callings of God are without repentance. He doesn't change his mind. The thing he spoke to you is still the thing active in your life. You just may not be active in it. Because of heartache, setbacks, obstacles. So Joseph is sold into slavery. He's been betrayed by his own family. Some of you can identify with that. You feel like your family never supported you. You feel like you were the black sheep. You got kicked out. You went on your own early, this or that. Joseph was sold into slavery. Not only into slavery, but he's sold into slavery into a foreign land, which I don't believe he even understood the language. So there he is. He's got no support, no position, and no way to even express himself. Nobody to even tell, hey, I'm not supposed to be here. They're like, no hablo English. No, you know, I was speaking with a man yesterday. We was having to talk through a computer. He would say his piece. I would say my piece. It would tell us what our pieces said. But they didn't have that. He had no way to communicate. It looked bad. It looked like the devil. It put out his fire. Looks like the devil had squashed his dreams. The devil has won. And so many people right there, they say, well, I might as well just give up. I might as well be like everybody else. Remember, we talked about the devil, his desires for everybody to be the same. I might as well just be like everybody else. How many of you are going through life? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to scratch all the paint off the ceiling. How many of you are just going through life saying, I'll do good just to get by? I'm just trying to hang on. I know God has called me, all that, but that doesn't seem realistic. I'll just do good to get to the weekend. I'm just going to be like everybody else. Well, look, you were called for more than that. Don't use these things that have happened to you as an excuse to give up. And so we get to that word that I told you we were going to talk about, tenacity. Joseph showed tenacity. Now, when I think about tenacity, I think about somebody really trying real hard, you know, energetic and blah, blah, blah. But really, it's not like that all the time. Tenacity has many different looks. It might be somebody who gets up, though depression is trying to get them to stay in the bed. It may be somebody who puts a smile on their face and goes to work, though their deep sorrow tells them to just stay in the bed. That tenacity can look mighty different in different lives, but tenacity, some synonyms for tenacity is courage, determination, grit, guts, heart. Then a word called moxie. Anybody ever heard that word? Do you have any moxie in you? Nerve. These are synonyms that mean the same thing almost. Resolve. Perseverance. Persistence. Spunk.
Gumption.
Steadfastness. I would add gumption.
Yeah.
Backbone. A couple I would add would stick-to-itiveness. That's actually in the dictionary, stick-to-itiveness. That means you don't quit. I would add whole hoggery. It should be in the dictionary. Whole hoggery. Because when you're all in, you're all in. You've made up your mind that I'm not quitting. Like old Snapping Turtle. You can't break his jaws. You can't break his grip. He is locked in. We need to get locked in. Back on the things God has promised. Doesn't always look like rah, rah, rah. Sometimes it looks like God's promised us this vision. And it seems like, man, that's all we can do to hang on. I've lost my fire. I've lost my get up and go. I might as well just settle. God, I believe He wants us to have a place of our own with some green grass for our kids, a church building. I believe God wants us to have better stuff, but that was years ago now. And here we are still. Nothing changes. Now I'm preaching real good for the devil. Nothing changes. There's no foreseeable way that there's in the natural, there's no, the facts say this. But tenacity says, even though I don't feel like it, I'm not quitting.
Amen.
I'm not quitting. When I look up and the walls of this pit are too high for me to climb out, when the bars of this jail are too strong for me to gnaw my way out, I'm still going to get my teeth and do the best I can. I'm not giving in to despair, depression. These are things we must fight against. And you have to have tenacity. Say tenacity. Do you remember that Joseph's father, Jacob, wrestled with God on the banks of the Jabbok River that time? He wrestled with God all night, the story tells us. All night. That's a lot of wrestling. I could probably go 2 minutes and please quit, call the ambulance. But he wrestled all night. And in the morning, God said, look, dude, I got to go. I got some things to do up in heaven, you know. And Jacob held on. He said, I will not let you go until you bless me. I will not let you go, God, until you bless me. That's tenacity. And maybe that's where Joseph got his tenacity from, his dad. You know, good things can be passed down the family line as well as bad things.
Amen.
Not everything is a generational curse. Some of it can be a generational blessing. Maybe if your children see you in church every Sunday, maybe that'll spark some tenacity to believe God's plan for their lives.
Amen.
Am I just preaching real good?
Yeah.
I ain't heard no amens out of this corner over here. Amen. thing is, many of us are wrestling against God and not wrestling with Him. Do you hear what I'm saying? There's a difference. Are you wrestling against God or are you wrestling with Him? Christian tenacity believes Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It says, and we know, he's talking about Christians, we know something. See, a no is a no. It's already settled. I know certain things about God. People come and say, well, I don't see that in the Bible. I don't believe that's true, blah, blah, blah. You ain't looking in the right places in the Bible because I done experienced it. I know it's real.
Amen.
I know. You can't take it from me. You can't tell me certain things ain't real and the power of God has passed away. I have experienced it. I have seen it. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purposes. You see, that's a new mindset that the world doesn't have. People say, but why does God let bad things happen to good people, blah, 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 blah. I can tell you this. I don't know the exact reason for that case, but I can tell you this. I know that if they love God, it's working for them and not against them.
Amen.
That God allowed it to strengthen them in some way. You know, you don't just get to the top of a mountain coming straight off out of the Lazy Boy recliner eating your Funyuns. All day drinking soda pops and eating Funyuns, and you think you're going to climb Mount Everest. There is some training involved to get you to the next step, to where God's wanting you to go. Same thing spiritually. You're going to encounter obstacles and opposition. That's why God left the devil down here, to give the Christians somebody to beat up on so that they could grow stronger in their faith.
They'll be overcomer.
That's why you see the godly men and women of God walking with a limp, because they've wrestled with God. I used to wrestle with my children when they were little. That was my favorite thing. I can't wait for grandchildren. I may steal some of y'all's. I just would get them little kids and just bury my face, and I'd act like I'm winning for a minute, but I was really just snuggle loving. And then they say, let me up, Daddy. And it was like a little baby bird trying to get out of the egg. And I'd let them out, and they would get on top, and they would win, and they would be so happy. And they were growing stronger, and it was making them stronger mentally. That I can whoop Daddy. I can do this. I can wrestle with Daddy. And he's so big. And God is doing that in our lives. And the first thing the devil says is, he's just holding you down. He's trying to stop you. God doesn't care about you. And the whole time, the devil's the one that tripped us up, and he's laughing at us while we're laying on the ground. But if you're going to walk with God, you might end up walking with a limp like Jacob, because God had to knock the leg loose on Jacob to get him to stop wrestling. But that's all right. That's part of your testimony. That's an outward sign of some inward struggles that have happened. That's an outward sign that I have wrestled with God and prevailed. My God has blessed me. It ain't a bad thing to wrestle with God. Just don't wrestle against Him. Joseph gave his best instead of becoming a victim of his circumstances. When he was in the prison that time, he didn't quit. He rose to prominence in Potiphar's house because he just gave his best all the time. God rewarded his initiative and his excellence and his qualities of his character. Joseph was a man of great, and he grew into a man of great qualities that pleased God. A stick-to-itiveness, a whole hoggery, tenacity. Joseph had tenacity. Colossians 3, verse 23 tells us to work willingly at whatever you do. That means digging ditches, plumbing, cleaning out old houses. What do you do? Whatever you do, work willingly at it as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. It's easy to say, well, that's not, my boss is not godly, so I'm just going to do just enough to get my paycheck. Well, you are short-sighted, my friend, because it's God that watches everything that you do. Amen. It's God that sees your integrity when you think nobody else does. It's God that is watching. So when you think it don't matter, that's probably when it matters most to God. Amen. That's when he's, oh, yeah. Nobody's going to know they did that, but they did it, and I know it. Nobody's going to reward them for going the extra mile, but I see the character that is developing in them. I see what I'm doing in their lives, giving me some fruit that I enjoy, the Lord would say. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. Say, the master I'm serving is Christ. See, there's no secular life and then a spiritual life on Sundays. That's only American Christianity. In the kingdom of God, your kingdom of God, 7 days a week. Everything you do is spiritual. You got to begin to see that. Sometimes I know people that can turn it on Sundays and quote the scriptures. And then when you talk about religion, they can dominate the conversation, but there's really no fruit in their life. They go back to an idea of work, being part of the world, being compromised with the world. They live like the world. But no. We are called to come out from among them and be ye separate. We are called to live a life of excellence and work willingly at whatever God sets your hand to do. Now, I say that. I know it's hard. I struggle at it. We all do. But the master we are serving is Christ. No matter who your boss is, the master you are serving is Christ. And your destiny, I wrote this, will be decided by who you serve. Think about that.
That's right.
How far you go in this life and the kind of life, the quality of life you live will be decided by who you serve. Are you serving the devil? You serving sin? You serving yourself? Then you'll get self results. You'll get sinful results, which is the wages of sin is death.
Yep.
You serving the devil? He come to kill and steal and destroy you. Are you serving the world? Are you serving the great American dream? Well, then that's all you'll get. Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. But if you're serving God, your results are going to be eternal in the heavens. Your rewards are going to be eternal in the heavens. You are making the best and wisest investment anybody could ever make. Is to invest their lives into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
It pays better dividends than anything else put together.
That's reality.
1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, but test everything and hold on to what is good. He's talking about prophecies here. You know, somebody says something, you test what I say. You know, you like the Bereans. When I say something, you go back to the word and make sure he's telling the truth. You test, but you hold on to that which is good. And that's what tenacity does. It holds on to that which is good. Now, I'm talking about if you got godly tenacity. Some of us got devilly tenacity. Right? Some of us got worldly tenacity. We work 60 hours a week. We're building this grand kingdom that somebody's going to cash out on when I die. And somebody else is going to get it. The bank. But I'm talking about godly tenacity. Those other tenacities will drive you like a slave. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us." You can't just run any race. Maybe right now you're thinking, I'm giving everything I got. I get up early. I go to bed late. I'm wore out all the time from giving everything I got. But are you on the right racetrack? Because who you serve is going to determine your destiny. Are you doing what God said do? Are you just doing what your flesh or your buddy told you to try? Are you following the game plan that has eternal rewards? Or will you stand before Him on Judgment Day? So I guess I went in the wrong direction, didn't I? Oops. Well, enter into the joy of the Lord. Your little shack's right over there. I don't know how this will work, but I wrote this. Godly tenacity, the right kind of tenacity, is fueled by godly purpose. That's why I have tenacity. Because I know God's in it. And I want God's purpose more than anything, than life itself. I want to see God's purposes happen. Amen. Godly tenacity is an expression of our love towards Jesus. Godly tenacity follows a good shepherd who does not drive us, but who leads us. You see, maybe you're wore out, you're broken down, you're tired, and you're over it all, and you just want to just wait for the weekend because you have tenacity, but you got it in the world, in the wrong purposes, and the world will drive you. The world will enslave you. Sin will enslave you. And it's always darkness and bringing you down. But our Master is a good shepherd. You know you can't drive sheep. They scatter. But He leads us gently. And His yoke is easy. And His burden is not that hard. You wouldn't need to strive so hard if your tenacity was in doing God's will and finding God's purpose and letting that fuel your tenacity. What's fueling you? Some of you have a lot of tenacity and some of it's been beat out of some of you. Right? But some of our tenacity is in the wrong area and some of us don't have enough of it. But I'm saying, let's get in alignment. Let's find God's purpose. And then let's show godly tenacity, stick-to-itiveness, whole hoggery. And God will lead you to the promised land. You know, the promised land, they didn't just cross over and say, okay, y'all leave now. This is our place. They had to fight for every inch of it. Even in the promised land. God promised them the promised land. They said, well, you know, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. We're going to go in there and it's going to be ours. But they had to fight every tooth and nail, every step of the way to possess it. And it is a picture of what is going on spiritually in our nation. We have to fight tooth and nail through prayer, through our Christian witness, to fight back the forces that want to claim America, that want to claim this land. But we say, no, we are one nation under God. We claim this for the kingdom of God. This is territory. The violent take it by force. We got to, the troops of God must forcefully advance because we have opposition. Don't be surprised when you run into the devil at every turn that somebody's always trying to stop you. The devil knows you're a powerhouse and he has to send his troops against you. But you have authority. You have the victory in Jesus Christ. And you got to hold on even when it don't look like it. Even when you're in the fire, Jesus is in the fire with you. Even when you're facing a giant, that rock that you have and that rock on which you stand is enough. The victory is ours. Thanks be unto God which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has made us more than conquerors in him who loved us. We just got to have the tenacity, the godly tenacity, the directed tenacity to follow the Lord's plan. And stop following our own. It's fruitless. Joseph believed God as a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's one of the qualifications for faith. Joseph believed that if I diligently seek God, I'll be rewarded for it. For you must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That is faith. It's okay to believe God's going to reward you for doing right because he is. It's built in. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So, say faith. Faith and tenacity. They elicit God's favor on our life. When God looks down and he sees faith in your heart and he sees a stick-to-itiveness whole hoggery going on about you that you're not going to quit, guess what? He knows where he can place his favor. And God's favor is the ticket to our success. God's favor is the rocket fuel to our destiny to run our race and finish our course. Many today think that the world owes them a participation trophy. Many in the church think that because they come on Sundays, man, God, I'm doing God a big favor. Listen, an entitled mentality only breeds dependency and weakness. Let me say that again. I wrote a lot of important things down. An entitled mentality, which is what we're basically producing here in America currently through our government programs, an entitled mentality only breeds dependency and weakness. Look at the Roman Empire. World superpower for over 500 years. What brought the Roman Empire down? When they had the strongest forces, they had everything. They were like America on steroids. Nobody could come stand against the Roman Empire. They had all the troops and all the forces and all the money. They had everything, just like America does today. But because they had everything, they became entitled. Because they had everything, they became dependent. Because they had everything, they didn't need to work for anything, so they became weak. And that's what happens to a spoiled nation. Everybody believes that Just give me some more money. Just give me, send me a check. You know the government doesn't have any money?
No.
It's the people's money. Well, they print money, but that just makes things worse. That's why we have inflation. But what I'm talking about, is becoming weak, cowardly. You know the antonyms for tenacity. We talked about the synonyms, the words that mean the same thing. The antonyms are the ones that mean the opposite. Antonyms for tenacity are cowardice, fear, idleness. Got a lot of that going on. Timidity, weakness. I'm telling you, you got to fight for that promised land. They were in that wilderness for 40 years, waiting to get their act together so that they could raise up a generation that would fight. And God's raising up a church right here that's going to fight. We're going to fight for what God has planned for us as a people. We're going to see God's hand at work. I don't care what it looks like. I know what God said. And I know that faith is more powerful than facts. I know my God can do all things. Is there anything too hard for me, the Lord says? Is my arm too short that I can't deliver? Sit around and talk about how did God part the Red Sea. I don't believe. How did he put a whale there for Jonah to fall into? How did God? Well, you tell me how he flung the stars into existence by, with a word from his mouth, and then I'll tell you. Ecclesiastes 11:4 says, farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. You ever notice that? I used to fish a lot, and then the summertime come up, and got my boat ready to go, and it looks like it's rain on the forecast every day. I can't go today. It's 40% chance of rain or whatever. Somewhere along the line, I realized it may rain somewhere, but it rarely rains. If it's not 90% rain, then you're good. Go. Listen. If you're waiting for a perfect situation, it isn't coming. Perfect situations don't require faith. Proverbs 26:13 says, the lazy person claims there's a lion on the road. Yes, I'm sure there's a lion out there. There's a lion even. Heavens to Murgatroyd. It's a lion even. There's a lion out there. What is that? That's a lazy person with excuse. Have you ever met a lazy person that didn't have excuses? Have you ever met a person who won't try that doesn't have a list of excuses? Benjamin Franklin, you may have heard that name, he says, he that is good for making excuses is seldom good for anything else. Amen. Are you a good excuse maker? I mean, we can all think of, we can put on our rose-colored glasses and tell every reason why we don't do what we should. But let's stop playing that game.
That would do it.
You got no tenacity, you not got no diligence, you got no faithfulness, then my brother or sister, you're a cowardly lion. Who watched the Lion King show? Simba, the young lion. He got hooked up with Pumbaa and Timon. They ain't even lions. They were scared of him, so they talked him out of who he was. They brought him over to the side and said, Hakuna Matata, don't even worry about all this stuff. You know, it's just fruitless. It's meaningless to pursue anything in this life. Just be like us. Come on, let's eat some bugs. Come on, let's eat some dirt. Let's lay around all day and be lazy. Let's not put ourselves out there. Let's not strive for anything. Let's not pay the bills, you know. Let's let the government do it. Meanwhile, the pride land is turning dark because Scar's taking over. Where are the Simbas in the church? Simba finally came to the realization, no, I'm not a little warthog. I am a lion. Yes. And he took his rightful place. Ain't no Kuna Matata in the church. Here's another thing I wrote. Challenges reveal potential. You got challenges? Welcome to the club. But in that challenge, you're going to see your potential. Obstacles are simply opportunities in disguise. Begin to see obstacles in your life as opportunities to show how far you've come in your faith. To show that this, to know that all things are working together, and this is just something, an opportunity God has given me to go to the next level. And the harder the obstacles that come into your life, oh man, this is because at new levels, I'm going to face new devils. Did anybody ever play that Nintendo game? I didn't ever get into video games much, but there was one I played for a little while. Way back in the day, it was called Punch-Out. Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. It was a boxing game. Okay, so in this game, you don't know how to work the thing right or whatever, so when you start, you know, you're like an amateur boxer, and you fight this goofy fella. You know, it might be a 60-year-old man walks into the ring with a cane or something, you know, and he can barely throw punches. And so you got to beat him up. But the object is to go from there to fight Mike Tyson for the world championship.
Well, Holyfield big got him.
But Holyfield didn't get there overnight. Holyfield had to work his way up from that old man to those amateurs to becoming a professional, and then becoming a professional to fight these, you know, journeymen. Until he got to a level in his life where he was able to fight the top contenders. And then he was able to become a top contender. And then he was able to defeat Mike Tyson. He was able to be, I think, the world champion 3 times. Same way in the game. You know, in the game, you want a cheat code, man. I don't want to fight these guys. You fight the little guy, and you come back next time, you got to fight another little guy. But most of the time, you're getting whooped. You know, look, setbacks and defeats are part of the learning curve. Black eyes, you know. But you learn to keep getting back up. You learn to jab and to box and weave through your life. And then the next obstacle, you ain't scared anymore. You done been hit. You know, that was early on. Some of us ain't got to the point where we've been hit. And every time we get hit, we have, I don't want to be hit. And we leave the ring. There's such a thing as getting to the second wind. There's such a thing as I'm going to win at all costs. And that's where we get to Rocky. No, I'm just kidding. You knew I had to say something about Rocky. But my point is, you have to work your way up. New levels, new devils. But if you're going to get to the championship, you're going to finish your course and run your race and hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Whatever God's course is for your life, you're going to have to overcome the obstacles and stop seeing them as a negative. Because you're depressing everybody and yourself. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Hebrews 6:11, we're about to close. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence. That sounds like another synonym for tenacity. Diligence. We desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. You see, hope is an anchor for our souls. Our souls can be tossed about by every circumstance and situations, but our hope in Christ keeps us anchored. And so we hold on with diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish. Another place says, don't grow weary in well-doing, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Joseph had to show patience along with his tenacity. He was 17 when he went to the pit. I think he was 30 before he became prince. 13 years. Some of you have been fighting longer than that. But hold on, through faith and patience, you will inherit the promise. You do your part, God promises to do His part. God's got tenacity like we've never seen before. God wrestled with Jacob all night. He's been wrestling with you for a long time. He's like, well, I'm going to go now. And you're like, no, you're not. You're not going till you bless me. He's just testing you. Like Jesus pretended that he would have walked on the road to Emmaus. But they said, no, come in and eat with us. Like Jesus was just going to walk by when he was walking on water. They said, no, get in the boat. You want Jesus in your boat. You want to grab the hem of His garment and you want to hold on and say, I'm not letting go until you bless me. Think of the tenacity God has shown to put up with us until now. If He hasn't given up on us, knowing all that He knows, then we don't need to give up on ourselves. If God believes in us this much, despite everything that we've proved to be true about our flesh, if God still believes in us, let's believe in ourselves. God is good. God is so good. There's things that, that's good. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. That's good. Some of us have been believing for something for so long. You say, I went up and got hands laid on me. I've done that several times, and I'm still not healed. I have prayed for this for 25 years. It ain't come to pass. But tenacity says yet. Tenacity says yet. Tenacity says even though I may not get it in this life, I'll get it in the one to come. Caleb could have said, you know, I'm 80 years old now. I don't even want the mountain anymore. But he took his mountain because he had tenacity and he knew that was his race. Don't give up on your dreams, what God has put in your heart. Just make sure you're running the right race. Right? Make sure you're putting your tenacity in the right place. If you're here today and you think, I think I'm right with God. I mean, I believe in God. Well, the devils believe in him and tremble. But have you received your salvation? The Bible says the way that we must have repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must repent of our lives and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He must be the Lord. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Are you saved? Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, a man must be born again or he'll not see the kingdom of God. Do you go to church but you don't see the kingdom of God in operation in your life? Do you not know that you have eternal life? 1 John 5:13, I think, says that you may know that you have eternal life and this life is in his Son. It is a personal relationship with Jesus that saves us. I asked the Lord one time, how do I know if people are saved or whatever? I don't know if I will ever. He said there's a line that they must cross in their heart. That's what he told me, believe it or not. It is a place that they must get to in their own heart. Every man must have their own personal relationship with Jesus. It's not a religious thing. It's not because of your church attendance. It's not because you're a good person. It's not because you were baptized. It is through faith in the Lord Jesus. Lord means boss. I have given my life to him, to follow him. I have decided to take up my cross. He said, come follow me. And I said, yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Have you said yes to his lordship? You say it's too hard. I'm not willing to give up that stuff. Well, then you're not willing to possess that stuff. You're not willing to possess heaven. You're willing to die and go to hell for this temporary life that you have chosen for yourself. But Jesus says, you fool. What good does it do for a man to gain the whole world but lose his own soul? Give your heart to Jesus. Go whole hog for Jesus, for his plan. In Colossians chapter 1, it says that everything was created for him and by him. You were created for Jesus, by him. He came after you sold yourself into slavery. You threw yourself in the pit. You imprisoned yourself in sin. And he came and redeemed you. He created you and then he came and bought you back with his own blood. Amen. Now you must give your heart to him. You must repent of your sins and make him Lord. And then, my friends, you can say, I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I've been adopted into the family. And I know that if something happened to me right now, I would spend eternity with my Savior. That is assurance of faith. It's a line you must cross in your heart and that you must speak with your mouth. Pray with me like this, church. Say, God, I repent of sins, and I choose to follow you, Jesus. Be the Lord of my life. Show me the plan and give me the tenacity to follow it through. I belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God's doing something. God's doing something in us as individuals, but God's doing something in this church. Don't you quit on this church. Don't you quit on what God's doing here, because you're a lively stone in this house. We counting on each other. Your success is my success. Amen. So if one of you is down, you go find one of these brothers in this house, one of these sisters in this house, because they're going to talk you back up, because we're in this together, my friends. Amen. I'm going to close in prayer. I'm going to be standing up here, and Brother Joe is going to be standing up here for anybody who has needs in their body. You have physical needs in your body. We're going to lay hands on you, and God is going to heal you. If you've lost hope, come up here. We're going to pray for you. If you're suffering depression, come up here, and we're going to speak life over you. God is going to do something if you will have faith to receive it. Father, we thank you right now for the Word of God that is able to change every situation. Faith in the Word of God, which is able to change our situation, our circumstance. Circumstances must change, because we stand on your Word and we have the tenacity to keep standing. When everything is raging around us, the water's rising and the fire is burning, we say, but God, but my God is able. We will look to you for every breath, every beating of our heart from this moment forward, Lord. With all that's in us, we declare we belong to you and to your purposes, and we declare it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast today. We hope you enjoyed it and that it inspires you to live out God's Word. For more information, visit us at www.mypassion.church.